Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 96, Seeing Through Our Third Eye.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, welcome again. I hope you've had a good week. What a week it's been. But first, I want to thank you all for your support and encouragement concerning these podcasts and everything else I do. It's lovely to know you're out there. And I feel I'm talking to you as if we're sitting having a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. It feels as if I'm really just talking to you. And that's such a pleasure. I appreciate these intimate moments, especially in the times of separation and lockdown, when we feel that we've been separated by for various reasons. So thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. And I love your comments. And do remember to go to my website, make sure that you're on our mailing list. Maybe you'll be interested in my latest webinar, online webinar on the 20th of August. That's Let's Talk Astrology. You know how much I love astrology. So if you're interested in knowing more about your own chart, please do think about signing up for that. And that all of these meditations I do on the podcast are now available on Insight Timer. So you don't have to go searching around to find a particular one. They're there now. So with all that in mind, let's move back, in fact, to the last full moon. And the last full moon was a big one, a very big one. Here we had the moon in Aquarius, the sun in Leo, squaring Uranus, the ruler of Aquarius, the maverick, the rebel, the revolutionary. And so you may have felt a little bit more revolutionary in the last few days, things happening suddenly. And of course, we had that sudden and very sad explosion in Beirut, in Lebanon, things happening suddenly out of the blue, where really there were things that were building up. And I really, my heart goes out to all of you, of everybody who's in Beirut, all of those who have suffered or lost people they love. But it's really reminding us that things can happen suddenly, that things can build up. And I think that's what's happening now. Things are building up. And it's not in someone else's backyard, it's in ours. It's actually saying that we are being asked to be that maverick, that rebel, not against something, but for something, to listen to our third eye. And the third eye is connected to Aquarius in a really strong way. So what is Aquarius? Aquarius is clear-sightedness, not attached to emotions, wisdom, being able to see the bigger picture, being able to synthesize all the information you're collecting and come up with a decision. And that's really how I see that we're moving forward. As you may have been listening to me, we are actually Saturn went back into Capricorn, but it's going to be going back into Aquarius in December. And then in a couple of years, Pluto will join it there. So there's a lot of Aquarian energy. And to me, this month is preparing us for that. Now, this is a difficult month astrologically, with so many planets now retrograde. In other words, digging deep into us, really asking us to go deep. And for some, it's bringing up sadness, and it might bring up tiredness, it might bring up exhaustion. So please don't push yourself. But it is a time where things that have been hidden are coming to the surface. And that's good. With the wits within us or within other people, but it's saying, let's not hide anything anymore. Let's use that third eye to see beyond what our two eyes want to tell us. And those of you listening to me have that distinction of the third eye. And I was very aware that with this full moon, those who had worked with their third eye were willing to see the bigger picture, were willing to see many sides of a story, were willing to listen to diversity. That wasn't going to surprise you if different viewpoints came into being. But those who only ever saw one way were going to go, what? How did that happen? Where did that come from? Out of the blue. And it tied in very much with, at the same time, Mercury in Cancer, which is, Cancer always wants everybody to be happy and everything to be relatively superficial. Let's not go deep when it comes to Mercury. Let's not think deep. Let's just keep everybody happy. It was opposite Saturn in Capricorn. And Saturn in Capricorn can be, on one level, those in authority who set down the rules, and on another level, working with accountability and integrity. And I feel that that shift's happening, that maybe I'm less inclined to go towards someone who says, I'm just trying to do this for your good, of a paternalistic viewpoint. And I'm saying, hang on a minute, you don't know what my good is. Ask me, and then we'll work together. But don't assume you know that you're doing this for my good. Because under that guise of we're just doing this for your good, it can also be I'm just doing this for my good, and you stay away, just go away and don't ask questions. And I know that I'm talking with you because you do ask questions and you do think deeply and you do look around the corners and you do use your third eye. So bless you all. And so what I wanted to talk about today is very much about perspective. How do we look at things with different perspectives, with different eyes? And recently I was reading about how the hummingbird has four different rods in its retina. And what are the rods? The rods give us the color. And so we only have three. And that gives us the ability to see three different color groups. But because the hummingbirds have four, they can see ultraviolet, infrared, other different combinations. And so they are able to produce a range of colors that our physical eyes can't see. And maybe you've been able to see other colors. I certainly have. There are different colors I see with my third eye that I couldn't really describe or put into a painting. I'm sure some of you have had that same thought. And I often feel that when I'm talking to certain people, and I realize that I have a range of colors that they can't see. And that's not any deference. It's not saying they're bad or they're not good people. It's just that I'm talking a color that they don't have in there on their palette. And it's interesting that many thousands of years ago, we really only worked with two or even maybe one color. This is why the River Nile was called the River Nile. It was the River Nigra, black, because it was seen as black. So black and white is a throwback to how our eyes used to work. And our more evolved energies are able to see more colors and hear at different frequencies. So the same thing with the dolphins and the whales. People say, oh, they only sound in this particular range. But no, they don't. It's just that we can't hear the other ranges. Because when we use specific equipment, we can. So the ability to see outside the box, we could say, or to be able to see on different levels is really a development. And it reminded me of the Flatlanders, the people who thousands of years ago, and this wasn't some myth, this is a reality, believed the land was flat. The world was flat, the earth was flat, and if you went to the edge, you fell off it. And that went on for thousands of years, as far as we can see. That belief that the world or the earth is flat, that's it, two-dimensional, like a piece of paper, go to the edge, fall off. And it wasn't till someone like Ptolemy came along, and that really was probably 2,000 years ago, apologies, I'm not quite remembering the dates of this, that he started to say, well, hang on a minute, if I use my math, if I use my ability to see physics, I can see that the world is not flat. It's actually spherical. He looked at the stars, he looked at the movement of the sun, the moon, and he said, no, we're living on a sphere. I mean, you imagine what that would have been like to say, what? We can't fall off the earth. And he designed this very intricate system to show how everything was moving as a sphere. But what he did was put the earth in the center. He said, ah, yes, I've got it. The earth is in the center and everything moves around the earth. Now, you might say, well, he was a very wise man because that's clearly what happens, because I look out and the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Well, no, it doesn't. We actually turn towards the sun and we therefore see it rising. And then we turn away and it sets. And everything is in movement like this. But instead, Ptolemy created a very complex system. Every time something didn't work, he changed his explanation of it. Let's say the data didn't change, but he changed his explanation. And to me, that's what's happening at this moment. We're starting to see people whose data doesn't fit in, but they're now, what they're doing is saying, oh, well, what we mean is this, or this is this. And I have to say, there's times when I will say something to the person presenting on the television, that I realize that when people keep saying, follow the science, I think science is not a fixed matter. This is what the great scientists have shown us. What Einstein would say, if you don't embrace mystery in your thinking, in your heart, you're dead. That's what he said. So when I see people trying to fit their dialogue, their narrative, into a certain way, but looking at the data, it's not science. It's, I am fixed on this idea. That's not science. I'm fixed on this idea, and I'm going to make everything work this way. And so when, you know, this idea, when we might be told there were so many cases of COVID, no, they're not cases. They are positive results in a test that is very inaccurate, that cannot tell you from day to day whether you're actually infected. All it can say is you have come in contact with the COVID-like proteins in the last few months. But we're not told that. We're given a narrative that fits the data, just as people were told the land was flat, or even Ptolemy's idea that everything went around the earth. And I was reminding myself of Michio Kaku. Michio Kaku is a wonderful physicist and scientist, if you haven't heard of him. And he tells a story of sitting watching goldfish, of sitting watching koi fish, and they're swimming up and down the stream where he lived. And he saw that they were living in this sort of flat land. That was their, that's where they lived. And he said, what would it have been like if he as a child had leant over and picked one of those goldfish up and put it into the air for just a few seconds and then put it back into the water again? What would that goldfish have told the other goldfish? You never guess what happened to me, or you should see what I saw. And the other goldfish will probably say, you're crazy, you don't know what you're talking about. And that hand coming in would have looked just as we're often talking about something from outer space, a UFO, something that's extraterrestrial, because we can't understand how that hand came through our world, picked us up and put us back down again. And I think that there's a lot of talk at the moment, more and more talk about UFOs, etc. And this is really in alignment to getting us to understand our multidimensional makeup. But of course, what we do is we put it back into the framework of our own limited abilities. Oh, they must be here to attack us. They must be bad people. They must be. And it's like, why do we always put our narrative on everything? And it's so sad that we should do such a thing. When I saw Avatar, the film, and they had these wonderful blue beings who could move and fly and everything else they were doing with this amazing energy, the end of the film was the fact that they found guns and they shot people. And I thought, our narrative is so limited. We have amazing capacities, but we come back to really quite base energies, base chakra energies of, give me a gun, let's see who we can kill. And I feel this is a time for amazing exploration. We're seeing that. We're seeing ourselves being able to step out and move out. But when we look at it, or even if it's being used, it's being used, unfortunately, with more base ideas. So I was watching a program on AI, and yes, AI is on its way. AI is coming. We can't deny that. And what we have to do is integrate with it. You know, you might say, wow, it's so exciting, Christine, AI is coming. Well, I see that. It's already here. Whether you have an Alexa or a Siri talking to you, or whether your car drives driverlessly, understand that many of the things that are occurring at this time is so we can bring AI into the world. Oh, AI doesn't get a virus. Oh, AI can do this job. So many of the jobs that are sadly being lost, people being put out of their work, will be replaced by AI. I don't want to depress you. I'm just saying this is the reality. However, the programming of AI is being done in our image. So the makers are creating AI in our image. And sadly, some of those images are not what we would say are the best of humankind. What it means to be human. We don't want something being done in our image that shows our fear, our survival mechanisms. We want it to be done with our compassion, our enthusiasm, our intuition, our knowingness, our creativity, our inspiration. Let's bring the very best of us out. And that requires us as a third eye to not shiver or shelter from ourselves, but to embrace all that we are. To embrace us, it isn't about saying, oh, I would never do any harm to anybody, but saying, I may well do harm, but I integrate that part of me into me. That might sound strange to you, but those parts of us that are not possessed are more dangerous than when we possess them. And so owning every part, saying, I can make a choice. I have that capacity maybe, but it's not a choice I make. That's pure of heart. That's goodness of humanity. Every teacher has always come in and said, it's not about hiding away and only being good. It's about acknowledging all that you are and making those choices, being in your center. And so just to finish my story of our world, our universe, it wasn't till Galileo came along, and he, who was quite a very brilliant and a rather arrogant scientist, he developed the telescope and he said, wow, I can see things I couldn't see before. He could see moons on Jupiter. And he said, not only are we a sphere, but actually we are going around the sun. And all the planets go around the sun. And all of a sudden, everything shifted. And what was interesting, we became heliocentric. In fact, we're galactic center. We actually all go around the galactic center, and then the galaxies go around the central sun of the central sun. But at this time, we were very much aligned to saying, oh, no, everything goes around us. Again, humans at the top of the pile, nothing can destroy us. And when he came out with this idea that actually we're going around the sun, then everything collapsed, and the Catholic Church said, we can't have you saying that. You can't come around because we've built our whole premise on this. And probably other churches as well, but because he was Italian, he got into trouble with the Catholic Church. And they were literally burning people at the stake for saying something that was opposite. And we're in a bit of that witch hunt now, saying anything against humans being top of the pile and humans being able to, let's say, melt the ice caps on Mars. Yes, it's you did that. Well, no, the sun did that. And the sun is going through amazing changes at this time. But at this moment, because we believe we are the center of the universe, we're also taking the brunt of the blame for everything that happens. And we're not that powerful. The magnetic fields, as you know, are weakening. They've changed position. We're starting to see that the sun has very little activity, the lowest activity it's had for 200 years. We are at a point of not so much warming up, even though there are places that are very hot at this time. There are also places that are colder than they've ever been. And this is happening. The sun is changing. And when the sun changes and it doesn't have much activity, then we become washed with cosmic energies from the center of the galaxy. That's what's happening at the moment. We are receiving information through the galactic center, through the black hole in the center of the galaxy. We are receiving energy from what we call the cosmos, the universe, and it's wakening us up. We're not being protected by the usual strong force of the sun, and that's good. We may be confused because we're getting information we didn't know about and we're trying to put it in this box, but to me, when we may be worrying about something like 5G and the satellites in the sky, that is nothing compared to the cosmic energies coming in. So be aware that if you're feeling strange, it's not necessarily something that mankind is doing. It's because your dreams are being lit up by this new energy. Our DNA, our junk DNA, is waking up because of this energy. Our mind, the sleeping mind, so much of our mind is asleep, is waking up. So don't, I have to say, worry too much about what mankind can do, because you are so much more as a universal being, as a cosmic being. It's like, whoa! And then you'll see things with a different eye. And it's that ability to integrate that which you see that you can't understand, which is the third eye's job. The Aquarian energy, the Uranus energy. I don't understand it, but it feels right. And I'm always checking in with your heart, asking ourselves to expand into mystery, into the unknown, not trying to fit the truth into the hour, but the hour into the truth, as Alice Bailey would say. And so just to finish my stories, Galileo was not really accepted by the Catholic Church, but he was such a well-known scientist that they couldn't destroy him, so they put him in house arrest. And he was there into his death, and long, long since, and it's only been about 15 years, so the Catholic Church have actually said, okay, we're taking off the dictate that you actually need to be on house arrest, though he's been dead for hundreds of years. But their fear was so great. And again, I'm not blaming anybody. Any organization which at the moment is going through tremendous transformations, as you might notice, the legal system, the education system, the health system, hopefully the banking system and other systems, are going through a clearing, going through, oh, if you are not in tune with this new energy, then maybe it's time to pack your bags or to change, to transform. Every system needs to move up, needs to learn to accept change rather than digging heels in and saying this is the way it has to be. And so the last thing I want to say is that on the 8th of the 8th, this is called the Lion's Gate. And the Lion's Gate is the alignment between the sun and the dog star. We call it dog star Sirius. And Sirius is another star, probably one of our closest stars. And many times people will tell me that they believe they're ETs and they come from Sirius or the Pleiades. And I agree, but I believe Sirius is just a railway station, if I may say, a place you might come into and stay a few days and then move somewhere else. It's a junction, a portal. And what's happening on these Lion's Gates, they are times when this cosmic energy can really enter this planet. So on the 8th of the 8th, a few days' time, we are right there. And so what I want you to understand is opening ourselves up to that which is unknown. Now, you can say, bring it in the light, bring it in the love. Let this be pure to my heart. Let me be true to my nature. Let it be in the alignment to God, whatever you believe in. Let it come from the Great Mother. But please to welcome it in. Welcome it in a way that says, I'm ready. And let your dear, dear brain go to sleep for a little bit, the piece of you that always wants to understand everything. And allow your heart, your third eye, and all those other lovely chakras you met last time, open up and say, we're ready to open to a fullness of who we are. We're ready to see things beyond our two-dimensional world. And let us, I believe, see ourselves as not the center of the universe, but as a magnificent part of what we call universal love, universal connection. And we're all spinning around, we're all connecting with each other in the most intimate way. And let that be the way we're now connecting, not necessarily through the ways we have in the past, but the most powerful form of connection is through love. It is when we connect our consciousness through love without fear that we truly cannot ever believe that we are separate, ever believe that we've been abandoned, ever believe that we're not good enough. All these myths will die away. There is no way you can't be loved. There's no way I can't be accepted. There's no way that I can be abandoned. There is only love. And with love, I leave you for today. Much love and blessings now. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Speak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all Heart Speak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. Heart Speak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, and now playing on iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcasts on YouTube. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, including her newest Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of Heart Speak.